Welcome back to the Green Tea Podcast. This is your host, Grace.
And Emma. So in today's episode, we will be discussing friendship. We'll cover what friendship means to us, share some memorable experiences or lessons that we've learned from friendships, and share some tips on forming new friendships or nurturing existing ones.
Yes, and I know that also Emma has a special friendship astrology today. She's going to do a friendship matching reading for us in this episode.
Yeah, so generally in astrology, there are things called synastry readings, and they can be done for any pair of people. In this case, it will be two friends, but it can also be done for romantic partners and romantic relationships, parents and children, or, you know, any pair of people. And the idea behind the synastry reading is to help you more deeply understand the other person and some of the underlying motivations behind their behavior. If there's any tension in your relationship, why does that happen? What can we do about it? With a goal of reaching a deeper understanding.
Wow. Okay, so I can't wait to see what you and I are gonna do well in and what we might clash in, you know? So we wanna talk about friendship in the teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and above, and, like, you know, what we're gonna be looking forward to when we get to that decade. Emma, do you wanna start with how did you view friendship in your teens, and how was it like for you?
Yeah, so for me, I think in my teens, friendship was synonymous with belonging. I think when we're young, we just want to, like, fit in with our peers. We want to fit in with people that are around us. And sometimes autonomy and individuality, I don't want to say they fall to the wayside, but at least for me, that wasn't necessarily the most important thing. You know, like, making sure, these are my values and these are my needs and this is what I want in a relationship. It's like, you know, I was young, I was a child, and I was trying to be accepted by those around me. So I think for me, that was one of the hallmarks of, you know, friendship in my teens, is like, what kind of commonalities do we have, and where do we really see eye to eye? I think naturally there was also this element of, like, proximity that came into play. You know, like, when you're young and you don't have the freedom to necessarily do what you want to do, it's like, oh, I'm friends with this person because we go to grade school together, or we ride the bus together, you know, or because our parents know each other, or, you know, something like that. So there's a bit of a superficiality to it. And I don't mean that in, like, a negative way, like a vanity superficiality. I just mean, you know, the depth isn't always there, I think. But par for the course, I suppose, when you're, like, 15, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like when you're a teenager, you just kind of try to figure yourself out and your identity. So I don't want to say, like, friendship wasn't important, but I just don't think you're not really settled as a person yet. So friendship isn't really a big important topic. You think it is, but as you grow up, it's not, and you become your own person in your 20s. But I do remember when I first immigrated to the US when I was 8, there was a specific Caucasian girl, blonde hair. She was so nice to me, and she invited me to her house. Like, I couldn't speak that English that well. She was the first friend who reached her hands out. And I just remember that even, like, 20 years later, I'm like, wow, I remember going to her house. I remember exactly what we ate. Like, her mom gave us PB&J. It was, like, the first time I've ever had PB&J in America. And that lingered in me for a long, long time. So 2 years ago, I actually reached out to her on Facebook. Then I'm like, I just have to buy her, like, a dinner and just, like, have a talk with her. And, you know, like, 20 something years later, we met up, and I was like, hey, like, I remember that. You were my first friend who's ever done that. That was something so special to me that will remember until I die. So I was like, that's the kind of person that I want to become to somebody else, that will remember me for decades.
Yeah, it's so crazy how, like, when we're young, there's such a natural innocence in our exchanges with people. You know, it's something as simple as, you know, welcoming someone into your home or sharing, like, even, like, a simple PB&J with them. But it can leave such an impression, like you're saying.
So going into the 20s, which is where we're going to get into the real talk, like, this is when we become a real person. This is when you meet the weird people, the good people, the people that define who you are as you grow up in life. In 20s, I spent most of my time in Korea being a K-pop trainee, and I was a very selfish person. And my definition of friendship in the 20s was, if you don't fit into the box of what I feel like friendship is, then you're not my friend. And maybe a lot of people are like that in their 20s. You don't have a lot of understanding, and you have a lot of judgment, and you judge a lot of people in your 20s, let's be honest.
I think when we're in our 20s, it's a time when all of us collectively are like finding ourselves, you know? We're trying to understand like what really is my identity. You know, they say that your 20s are the time for you to figure yourself out anyway. And I definitely find that, well, I guess I'm not in my 40s, so it's not like I can speak to that, but I definitely find that there was a little bit more turmoil in my 20s in friendships than, say, in my teens. And I do think part of that is just because, yeah, you know, you meet a ton of people and some of them you find really align with you and some people don't, you know, and it's not always to villainize anybody or anything, but yeah, I think that that's evident as well in friendships.
Yeah, I remember when I was a K-pop trainee, there was a friend that I thought like was the perfect match. She was like loud. She was very like opposite of me. She was super friendly when I was like super shy, and we had a lot of like commonalities. And as like a year or two went by, you know, she was the type to that loved people, that just want a big group of people. And I was like, I like intimate groups. So that's when we started to little clash. And I was like, damn, I kind of started to be outwardly a little ignoring her in a way. And I look back and I'm like, gosh, why was I like that? But, so for example, like, if you didn't fit into my box of friendship, I was like, I don't think we could be friends. So there was one time I wanted to meet up with her. It's been like months. And we went to go drinking. We were like talking together about what's been going on in the couple months. And I remember like some people noticed us, like she was in like a TV show. And they're like, "Ooh, can we drink with you? Can you drink with you?" For me back then, I was like, hello, if I called you out and if I haven't seen you in a couple months, let's have like a one-on-one time. But she's like, yeah, come in. Like she had like multiple people at her tables now. And it just got so complicated for me. Ever since then, I was like, I don't think we could be friends. I didn't say that to her, but, you know, looking back now where I am, I wish I could have been more open, less judgmental, and be accepting of who that person is rather than trying to fit them into a mold. And if they don't, it's okay. You know, I meet them when I want a party, and if I don't, I don't. That's the kind of mindset I have now, but just a little example of, you know, how ignorant I was in my younger 20s.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I feel like I can really relate to a lot of what you're saying. And I know that in our natal charts as well, which I know we'll get to it, but even in our natal charts, there are similarities between our sun sign and our moon sign and what that means for us consciously and unconsciously. But I really resonate with what you're saying about feeling like people had to fit a certain mold of what it meant to be like your friend. Like they had to align with your expectation of what a friend was supposed to be, and if they didn't fall inside of that, it was very easy to write somebody off as like, oh, I can't be friends with that person. And I really resonate specifically with what you're saying about I used to think that like people sharing the same beliefs that I had was really important for friendship. And I do think to some degree, of course, like a similarity is I don't want to say necessary, but it's important, you know. But it was to the point where, like, if somebody didn't view the world the exact same way that I did, I would tell myself, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if we can be friends. Like, is this going to lead to a problem down the line? And it's like, kind of like you said, I wish that, you know, maybe, especially earlier in my 20s, I could have been a little bit more open-minded and flexible and had a better understanding of what it meant or what it means to accept somebody as they are and still recognize that you could have maybe a different type of friendship or a different like level of closeness or intimacy with somebody. You don't necessarily have to just write off anybody who doesn't fit, like you said, a mold that you put out there, you know?
But speaking of the other side, when I was younger, because I was in the K-pop entertainment, I wanted to fit in so bad with like the singers and the actors. And obviously there were many times when I was able to go to these in Korea, there's a lot of drinking, you know, parties. So I would go to this drinking party and I would try to fit in so well with these other idols and K-pop idols and singers. And I would pretend to be somebody I wasn't. Inside, like I would pretend so cool and chill and mysterious. There's this one person in our friend group, and he always had like many celebrities around him, and like he was like the person who like gathered everyone at his house. So I met a couple of these friends, and we just started to kind of go clubbing. And there was this one pretty famous singer, and we were like standing in a little group, and one of the girls, I think she was a model, and she was like, "Oh, what should we do? Should we go in? Whatever." And I was like, yeah, let's go in, everyone. Like, let's have a fun time. But then these girls, obviously, were more famous than me. They kind of just looked at me and they, like, kind of ignored whatever I was saying. And you could just tell that vibe, right? It was very clicky. But, I mean, I was confused because at times she would talk to me. She seemed really nice. But also a lot of times they would kind of ignore you. So was that because they were more famous than me and they didn't want to fit me in? They didn't think I was cool? Maybe. I just realized from then on, wow, like I wouldn't want to become that person. Like I wouldn't want to be the person that they ignore just because maybe I'm not as famous. Maybe I don't fit in. That really woke me up and said, I don't want to treat somebody like how she treated me. Again, I don't blame her. She was young too. I was young too. But you're going to run into those people a lot in your 20s.
I mean, I know I've told you this before, but even the way that we became friends, you know, I'm somebody who, like, comparatively speaking, is not famous by any stretch of the imagination, you know? And so the context of how we met and knowing that you're somebody who already has some type of fame, it was really, I think, eye-opening for me. Because if I'm being completely transparent, I definitely think that I had a bit of a negative perception of, like, influencers or people who, you know, like, influencers, basically. I had a negative perception of influencers because most of the people that I had met that were influencers came from, like, nightlife or something like that. You know, and the environment is similar to what you just described. It's very clicky. It's who's the coolest person in the room and, like, ugh, we can't have anybody over here that's not cool or not pretty or not whatever. And so I felt like it was a little bit superficial, and I had gotten to a point in my life where I was really trying to not take those judgments and, like, project them onto other people that I met. So when you and I met and you were open to, like, developing a friendship with me, even though I wasn't, like, super famous or, you know, whatever, that actually really stuck out to me. And I remember it's something that I, even to this day, like, I still think about that. Because I think that obviously, you know, getting to know somebody runs much deeper than the social clout that they have, you know, or like how much fame they have. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, it's just my opinion, but I would say you're doing a pretty good job in not being that girl that they were to you, you know?
Do you have any stories of a friendship that changed for you in your 20s?
The 20s has been very interesting for me. So I'm technically still in, like, my 20s, but I've watched a lot of my friendships evolve over the past, let's say, 9 years. But I did have this one friend. We were just, I think, both at a point where we navigate the world very differently. You know, like, I'm a kind of a loud, really direct, could be a little bit blunt, maybe insensitive type of person, you know, at times. And she's a lot more reserved, I think, about things, and she tends to keep a lot of things to herself. And so you can see how, like, if there's tension in a relationship, that could cause clashing. And yeah, it just kind of got to the point where I think we started triggering each other. I think, if I'm totally honest, there were maybe moments that I made her feel judged, you know, for who she was, or, like, maybe the way that I would speak would make it seem like I was criticizing her or trying to tell her that she wasn't doing things right or whatever. Just knowing myself in my own shadows, I think that that might have been part of it. And at least from my end, I sort of felt like I made an effort to try to reconcile things or talk about them, but she didn't really seem as open to that. And so I think that, like, one of the biggest things that I learned from that is how your own shadows can really infiltrate your relationships, and just how important it is to be able to communicate with one another, especially in times of tension. And so now that's something that I really look for in my friendships is, like, okay, when things are great, things are great. It's the same thing with, like, a romantic relationship. Like, when things are good, things are good. But how do you handle conflict? Or, like, if you disagree with one another, are you able to bring it up in, like, a peaceful way, in a, you know, a diplomatic way? And for sure, I used to have this problem. I mean, I'm sure I still have this problem at times, but I can be a little intense. You know, I bring something up and it might sound like I'm yelling at you or being very, I don't know, maybe condescending or maybe just, you know, just really harsh. And so it's something that I've had to learn, but I think that, yeah, overall, that's something I've really picked up on and want to carry forward in my 30s and 40s is, like, good communication and friendships.
I can't see you doing that, or I haven't seen that side of you.
Really? I think it was mainly because of, like, my own triggers. I think a lot of those triggers at the time that would come out and cause me to behave that way are things that I've really tried to work on over the past few years. So maybe that's also part of why you haven't seen them. But also, you know, like I said, as we grow and we kind of understand what we want for our friendship, we can become more open to receiving that. So for example, like one thing that I can appreciate about our friendship is I don't necessarily feel like I need to sit here and guess about how you feel or like read your mind maybe about something. If I do something that upsets you, I mean, so far, right? I don't feel like you're going to get passive aggressive with me and just shut down and start acting funny. And then I have to figure out like, why are you doing that? You know, it's like so far, right? Like you've been very open about expressing like, oh, you know, I'm not really liking this, or I'm not sure I agree with this, or like, oh, but what about this? You're willing to and able to challenge the things that I say, without coming off, you know, like controlling or like rude or whatever. And I've also tried to work on becoming more open-minded to other people's perspectives, right? And not needing to have everybody agree with me, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that point, because when you, I totally agree, in your teens and maybe in your younger 20s, when you're, again, judgmental, and somebody does something that you don't like, you just, girl, or maybe girls, just have this silent moment, like, okay, maybe she will notice that I am bijaseo in Korean, or like I am being petty or, you know, annoyed at you. And I've realized as I turned 30, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is so annoying to try and guess what you're thinking or try and guess why you're annoyed. If you don't want to meet me right now, let's end it. Let's go home. Like, let's not keep this tension, bad energy. It's like, let's solve it. Move on. Yes. It's definitely something that I want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that like, that's something that we both share. And it's funny how even outside of just our personal friendship, like even in doing this work together, it's something that we've talked about. I know when we met up at the, when we first started the podcast, we met up at this bubble tea place to like try to brainstorm and figure out like, how can we really get on the same page about this? And I was having some concerns about something. And I remember thinking to myself like, wow, I don't know if I should bring this up. Like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Oh my God, she's gonna freak out. Telling myself this whole story, you know? And so we sit down and we finally talk about it. And you're like, yeah, I feel the same way. And I'm like, oh, wow, this worked out even better than I thought, you know? Same thing, you know, you would openly share if you were having some thoughts about something. And I really feel like it alleviates any potential conflict that could happen, at least at those points, you know what I mean? Like, that could have turned into a serious issue of festering and pettiness, but...
Yeah, I definitely recommend being just transparent, open, and communication with somebody or anybody. And if they are not open to receiving it, it's okay, because it does happen. There are people who are not communicative, you know? And you just know that you don't have to be friends with those person. We're not saying you have to be friends with everybody, but you'll be surprised how many people are willing to understand and be communicative. But I do want to get into the red flags of a friendship that you might have experienced in your life. I definitely do have one. And this is a type of friend that I don't want to be friends with after, you know, living 30 years. You guys probably might have met somebody who always changes group of friends, like every couple months. You might notice that this person always has this facade and has this like performer type of energy, and they're always like wanting to feed off of friendship, and like, they just can never be alone. There are people like that, if you guys know what I'm talking about. There was a particular couple people in my life where I would meet a lot of friends through them. I'm like, wow, this is great. Like, they have so many friends. And then a couple months down the road, I'm like, oh, what happened to this person, this person, this person? That to them. New group of friends they have. Okay, like, it happens. That happens for multiple years. Like, I've met somebody through this person. They're like, nope, unfollow that person. You know, they did this to me. They did that to me. And it wasn't one or two person. It was like every person I met through them, debt to them. So I think somebody who might bring a bit of negative drama all the time into their life is going to affect you at the end of the day. So that's one person, that type of person I do want to stay away from. I'm not going to lie. I just don't vibe with them. Sorry.
Wow. Wow, that's so... Listen, you heard it here first, folks. That's, you know what? That's actually such a good point. And I was just thinking about this earlier too. That's not my answer, but you actually bring a really great point to the table about... There are certain people whom I find like drama follows them everywhere. And like you said, there's like a performative aspect to their friendship. It's not like genuine, you know? Wow, I'm just like, yeah, keep telling me more about this. Like, this is just fascinating. I guess for me, the one type of friend, I suppose, that I try to stay away from is somebody, or is friends who are opportunistic. I'll just say opportunistic because that's the shortest way to sum it up. But people who are around when they are benefiting from something that you're doing or benefiting from the friendship, but then when you're not always giving, they're gone. You know, they're not even, you don't even, they don't even know you. They don't talk to you, you know, and then the only time you hear from them is when like they need something. Now, of course, I cannot be devoid of responsibility here. And I know that in some form, like if I'm that person that feels like people are always taking from me, then I need to do some self-reflection and ask myself, like, why am I allowing this? Do I have boundaries set? Am I giving somebody the wrong impression with my behavior? You know, what is it, right? I'm not saying it's all on the other person, but I do think, sometimes the writing is on the wall. You know, sometimes their behavior is very, very clear. And for whatever reason, it might be different for everybody, but for whatever reason, you know, we still allow people like that into our lives. So I would say that that for me is one of like the red flags in relationships, just the lack of reciprocity and kind of balance, you know?
That just kind of reminded me, have you ever met somebody? I'm sure you guys all have met somebody that you just cannot see through them. I've met multiple of those kind of people in my life, and it's usually females. I don't know why, but you can never figure out their true personality. It's just like they're always performing. I don't know what it is, but you just can never connect with their soul is kind of like how I describe it. Like they have almost like you just can't ever know what they're truly feeling or thinking, and you just feel like they're going to cut you at any moment. Like you that intuition, that gut, you could feel, you can never, like, who are they truly? Have you met those kind of people? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about. Like, to me, I would describe it, and of course correct me if I'm wrong, but I would describe it sort of as like a social chameleon. It's like people who are so good at taking on these roles of whoever they're with that sometimes it genuinely makes you wonder, like, who actually are you? Like, are you really this person? Because over here, you're this person. And then over here, you're this person. And I'm lost. To be fair, I do think that, like, because I think maybe you have this ability, right? I mean, I think I have it to a certain extent where, like, we're able to get along with different types of people, you know? Obviously, maybe not quite to the same depth, but we're able to be in, to be put in different environments and figure it out, right? But I do get what you mean, because I think there's also a difference between can you kind of like adjust to the scenario versus you're putting on an act, you know, like you said, this performative act of like trying to be somebody to fit in with somebody, or, you know, to get their attention or to get their validation, and totally changing who you are. And it's more of like a, yeah, performance is really the only way I could think of it. So, yeah, I get that. I feel like there was a lot of that for me when I was in nightlife. I noticed that. Like, people would be one way, but then, like, somebody famous would come in, or, like, another girl would come in, and now all of a sudden they're acting funny, and I'm like, what is going on right now? Like, what is happening? But, yeah, man, jeez, that's just funny.
I mean, my voice might go up if I'm talking to a cute boy. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Going into your 30s, what are you looking forward to when it comes to a relationship, and what do you want to change or stick with?
So, yeah, going into my 30s, I think certain things that I want to maintain or continue with my friendships is meeting people that I really feel I understand at like a soul level. And I know you kind of already implied that, which is really great. But people that I really feel like see who I really am past the image that I project, or past what they see with their eyes. You know, like, do we really vibe on that soul level? Do we really understand each other? Do we respect the differences that each other has? And are we still able to like find, you know, a common ground? I feel like acceptance has been a big thing for me in my 20s, not just acceptance of myself, but acceptance of like all the variations of friendship, you know, the fact that you can be friends with so many different people, or you could even have different levels of closeness or intimacy in your friendships. And like, you know, some people, I can tell them like all of my secrets and all these things that like I would never share with 8 other people in my life, you know? I like the variation element. And I think that as I've grown, interestingly enough, friendships have become more intimate in the sense that obviously I've met people that I can connect with more deeply. But at the same time, they've become less intimate. And I find myself really enjoying being able to connect with all different types of people and just connect with like the humanity in them. Like the privilege to be able to meet people in general, like not a specific person, but to meet people and just experience what it's like to connect with so many different people. I think that's really a blessing. And that's something that I really want to like lean into a little bit more in my 30s is not have expectations about how this friendship is going to be and just let it be what it is. Let it show itself to me. Let it unfold naturally. Just let's see what happens, you know? Not saying don't be intentional, obviously, but you get what I'm saying.
I actually love that because that's exactly how I was feeling. Like I said, in your teens and 20s, you have this image of a friendship. You want to put them into a box. And if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But
yeah.
In 30s, I'm like, you know what? If you don't like nature and you just like shopping in cities, let me do that with you. In my 20s, I was like, oh, she doesn't like nature and hiking. She only wants to do that. Like, I don't want to be her friend. Mm-hmm. Now it's like I have friends who love nature and hiking and don't want to shop. Like, let me do that with them.
Yeah.
It's like you have no attachments, like you said, no expectations, and you just go with the flow with that person's energy. Like, I don't have to be one color for one person. Like, you could be multiple chameleon colors for everybody out there. And like you said, genuine humanity that you get to really connect with and have this collaboration is like totally beautiful. I didn't have a lot of friends until like I turned 30, and I was like, you know what, I want to get out there and I want to collaborate. I was like afraid of collaborating with people, but once I reached out and like started to see the benefits of having so many different type of friends, like a rainbow, like I think my life has elevated like 10 times more. The idea of collaborating in life in general, not just your career, is amazing. Now I look back and I just can't go back.
Wow, that's so beautifully said. I totally agree with that, and I totally hope to like have even more of those experiences, you know, like as I move into my 30s as well, of like truly feeling like I'm collaborating with people, not just professionally obviously, but like you said, personally. What do you think is like, I guess now, because you've been through your teens, your 20s, and technically you're in your 30s now, also your birthday is coming up at the end of May, what would you say is like, do you think it was a bigger change going from like teens to 20s friendship or 20s to 30s friendship?
Definitely 20s to 30s. I think teens to 20s, you're still really young and you're still very selfish. Not saying that people who are older can't be selfish, but I've learned to be flexible with somebody. And that's the biggest thing I wish I had, you know, when I was younger. It's to just sit down and understand that person.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're only black and white. Dude, that's cool. So just being open to people, but that also doesn't mean you have to be friends with A to Z. Like, you don't have to be friends with everybody and be kind to everybody. There's definitely people that I don't vibe with, period. Like I said, the type of people I just mentioned earlier. I'm also selective, you know. It doesn't mean I'm gonna go out and be friends with everybody, but also being flexible at the same time, it's a balance.
Yeah. That makes me wonder, like, with what you just said about being selective about your friendships. I find that as I get closer to my 30s, I try to treat like my friendships as more of an investment, you know, like in a strange way. Like, of course, some friendships, and just like I said, generally, I try to just enjoy the aspect of connection. But I do find that with my close friendships, especially, I really try to treat that like a long-term investment, you know, like I really want to try to show up for my friends and like make sure that they know that I'm here for the long haul. I'm not going to be like up and gone tomorrow. And I guess I'm curious if you feel the same way or not. You know what I mean?
I mean, I am the type of person who wants to have long lasting friendships. Like, I don't want fast food like friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be friends with you till we're like 50, 60, 70, till we die, you know? Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I don't know. Right. But I also don't want to have attachments. Mm-hmm. I love what you said earlier. You're like, you have no expectations. Right. We're not in a box.
Yes.
Like, we collaborate, and maybe you might move. Maybe you might get married next year. Like, who knows? But I still want to stay in touch with you. But life changes, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely think that we can like nurture and invest, if you will, in friendships that we have, but also, like you said, be balanced in that and not have any expectation that like, oh, that means this has to last until we're 70, you know, or it has to last the next 20 years because I've been investing. It's like, no, you know, you just invest because you care about somebody, because you want to nurture that relationship. It's interesting because I, similar to what you said, I feel like I didn't really have a lot of friends, I guess really my 20s, or at least like close friends. And for me, that's because when I was younger, like when I was in grade school and middle school, my family moved around a lot. So I actually sort of learned that like friendship is only for a season and like friendships are temporary. So I would actually even argue against myself in that part of the reason why I didn't have that many friends was because I hadn't really learned how to like nurture a long-term friendship, or like I just like unconsciously expected, oh, this is going to be over in like a couple years anyway. So like, I'm here, but like, you know, I'm not going to get attached. I don't want to get attached to this person because I don't want to be sad when I have to leave. And I think in general, that's just a lesson that I've had to learn in my life in general is to not be so attached to things needing to stay the way that they are when you first meet somebody. But I think it's interesting how our childhood or our past can really inform the lessons that we've learned about friendships as we get older, you know.
I do want to say one story time. And this is regarding you don't have to let everybody into your life or be an open book. There was one time when there was this older man who talked to me on the train, and it turns out he was like a cool guy. He actually wanted to hire me to do like social media marketing. And at times, like, wow, you never know if you talk to a stranger at a random location, what could happen to you. But there was this also another time when I was trying to be an open book, and I actually ended up taking the wrong train. And I didn't even realize this because it was late at night. I've never done this ever before. But I was in the wrong train. I didn't know at the time. And this guy sits next to me and starts talking to me. He's like, oh, like, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. You know, my mom is like a designer. Oh, my God, you do music. Like, I have this like producer friend. And he was like calling his producer friend in front of me, like, say hi. Like, let's exchange numbers. And I thought, okay, like, you never know where think people could take you, whatever. And turns out later he was so shady. He's like, you want to come over to my house? Like his profile photo was like really weird, you know, like he had like half naked body and like it was odd, right? Like later turns out, yeah, that he was a little creepy. And later that day after he got off of his stop, I looked up and I'm like, holy shiz, I'm in the wrong train. And maybe that was a little sign from the universe, like, this is the wrong direction, like, sometimes talking to people and being an open book is going to lead you to creepy people who don't have the right intentions. So I'm just saying, like, there's bad experiences, so use your intuitions and know when to say no and, like, block off the person. Just want to put it out there.
I have something to add to that. It's not a specific friendship that's occurred in, but I feel like one of the lessons that I've really had to learn in my life is that there are people out there that don't have good intentions. Like you said it perfectly. And I have 100% found myself, you know, in situations where I look back now and I'm like, wow, I'm really lucky. I know this sounds dramatic, but there are certain instances where this does actually ring true. Like, I'm really lucky to be alive right now, you know, like, like, because yeah, like I think for a long time I didn't always trust my own intuition, and it would lead me into, like you said, whether it's a professional relationship, personal relationship, friendship, whatever, it would lead me into relationships with people who like did not have my best interest at heart. But I was naive to that. You know, I was like, oh, you know, just because I would never do that to someone must mean no one else would ever do that to someone, you know, like, girl, what? But, you know, like you said, when we're young, especially, or when we are still learning to listen to ourselves and listen to our intuition, we can sometimes find ourselves in situations like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I just want to let everyone know there are a lot of people, like you said, with bad intention. And just because you wouldn't ever do that, there's somebody next to you who would do that. Yeah. And that's something I learned growing up in adulthood. Like, there are people with pathological lying abilities. Like, I've met those people who literally lie from A to Z what happened in front of you. Those are the kind of like the dead souls I'm talking about. There are people who, oh my God, I want to tell you a story. Yeah. So recently I met this person at an event and she seemed so cool. Mm. Like, she was so friendly, whatever, not to give too much information. But anyway, I even went over to her house and like we were talking. I even brought her like gifts because I went to, you know, I was invited to her place. and everything was totally fine. And later, a couple weeks down the road, she wouldn't text me back at all. So I was like, okay, whatever. And I went to her Instagram. She unfollowed me. So I was going through my friend list, and some people like just unfollow you when there was nothing going on between you. I've said nothing. Everything was fine. Yeah. And it's like, what? Yeah. Why? Not saying that we had a deep friendship, but it's like, what happened, you know? Like, and that kind of also leads into how social media following and unfollowing could kind of mess with your head and texting as well.
Yeah, it's like, why did that happen? Like, maybe we'll never know, but
maybe they're that kind of a person, do you think? Maybe they just like meet you and they act nice and then they're like, oh, I don't really have anything to do with her, blocked.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I definitely think there are people that handle things like that, you know, where like instead of being able to reach out to you and say, hey, Grace, you know, actually, I wasn't really feeling a connection, you know, we're like, hey, Grace, you did XYZ and it made me feel ABC, so bye, you know, or whatever. It's like some people, they take that route because it makes them feel safer and they don't have to do any confrontation. They don't have to risk any type of like negative reaction on your part. But I don't really know. I don't know that I have a direct answer for that, but I would assume that like, well, not assume, but like if that's the way that somebody chooses to handle something, in my mind, that indicates that that's how they feel and believe is the most comfortable way for them to handle the situation. I actually had that occur with one of my friends, but I know that at the time, like, she reacted that way because she didn't know how else to react. Like, she didn't know how to actually solve the issue in another way. Not saying that that's on her completely, of course. Like, I have a role in that as well. But it was a self-protective thing. You know, it's like sometimes having to confront somebody about something that's hurting you. I mean, you know, you get it. I get it. It's stressful. Like, that feeling of like, oh my God, this person might not receive this well. That's terrifying, you know? So yeah, I do think that people are out there. I do think that people like that are out there. And I think we all have the capacity to be that person as well.
Yeah. When you said, you know, that person unfollowed you and it doesn't make us feel good. Right. Do you think social media also changed friendships for better or for worse, maybe medium? Mm.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I think that before social media, you know, there wasn't this whole like online world that we had to cater to. There wasn't an image that we had to uphold online. It was just like, cool, we're gonna go play in the backyard, we're gonna ride our bikes around the neighborhood, and then we're gonna go home and like eat sandwiches with our parents. That's it. There is no like, oh, now I gotta go online and like put up this image and these are my top, like on MySpace when it was like your top five, like what do you mean, you know, stuff like that. It's like there was none of that happening before social media. Not to say that that type of energy didn't exist, like of course. But I think social media really exacerbates that. And I think social media a lot of the time can exist as a way to solidify friendships or even like become a reason why friendships fall apart. Just in general, like the way that we make friends and the way that we communicate with friends, there's an instant gratification element of social media that I think can lend its hand to certain expectations that we have. You hear this all the time, not just with friendships, but with romantic relationships. Oh my God, he hasn't texted me back, but he watched my story, like all my stories. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this expectation that now someone's gonna get back to you right away because they're on social media right away. And if they have time for social media, well, they must have time for me. They must have time for the connection.
Yeah, I think now that I think about it, that could be a whole episode because I have so much things to say. Because there's pros and cons, definitely. It definitely messes with you, your head, like you said, instant gratification. And but I also think it made it easier. I met so many people through social media, which is great.
Yeah.
You could collaborate with your friends. I think I use social media as more like a career and job. So maybe I view it a little differently, but I think it messes with, it could mess with relationships, absolutely. But I think that will be a whole maybe episode we'll do.
Yeah, I like what you said, by the way, about how you use social media more for like business. I feel the same way. I feel like part of how I'm able to actually focus maybe a bit more on like the friendships that I have in my life is by not relying too heavily on social media to do that work for me. It's like I use social media for business, professional reasons, and then I really try to make sure that I'm nurturing like my friendships. I mean, of course I'll do it on social media, but like especially outside of that, I really try to be intentional.
Well, we can't really speak for, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, but I am looking forward to having more meaningful friendships, honestly, going forward. I felt so lost in my teens and 20s that I'm just in a good place. I learned detachments and attachments, you know, letting the universe let it happen the way it's supposed to be and just being peace with everything That's that happens beautiful. As is.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm looking forward to more harmony in my relationships, even if there is not necessarily harmony, like the ability to navigate disharmony better, like you said, with this idea and this principle of like detachment, you know, and not having expectations, not like clinging to anything needing to be a certain way. And hopefully, you know, as I get older, I'll also meet people who have learned that same, you know, lesson, or they approach friendships in the same way. And I really want to get to the point in my friendships where I really feel like super, super, super vulnerable. And I know we sort of had a conversation about this like last week, but I think for me, sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable to like acknowledge, especially to my friends, like when I'm really struggling, for example, like when I'm really struggling with something, I have a tendency to talk about it like, oh yeah, this is what I'm struggling with, but it's fine. Like, I'm cool, whatever. Like, it is what it is. I'll figure it out. And even if that's true, like in my own mind, and I know that I will figure it out and I know that I'm still fine, sometimes like I really wish that it was easier for me to just say to a trusted friend, like, I'm struggling with this. And like my friend is not trying to be like, oh, well, let me fix the problem, or like, let me give you some advice, or like, let me, you know, it's like they can just be like, dang, dude, like, that sounds tough. And I'm really sorry that you're going through that. Like, tell me more about that. Or like, even if we don't want to talk about it, just like a, hey, but look at all the things that you've done so far. Like, I know that you'll be able to do this. You know, it's going to be fine. Not it's going to be fine, but you know what I'm saying. Encouragement, encouragement. Anyway, with that said, I think one of the things that I'm hoping in my like 40s, 50s, etc., is that I become somebody who can open up to my friends in that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what friends are for, right? I think we're here as a community, opening up and listening to other people. And without blood-related family, who else do you have? It's your friends, yeah. Right? So we're you and I am you and you are me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have time for some friendship astrology reading. This is what Emma does, and she's offering this service as well on her website. Can you talk a little bit about that friendship astrology?
Yeah, so there's tons of things that you can look at when it comes to friendships, but specifically, like, one thing that I find kind of interesting between you and I is, I mentioned this earlier, that our sun and moon signs are like, very similar. So in astrology, the sun sign represents, like, your ego, your identity, how you express yourself, your conscious, like, desires and drives, kind of. And the moon represents your unconscious needs, what you need to feel nurtured, potentially how you nurture other people. And so both of us have a sun in an air sign, and it's mine's at 7 degrees and yours is at 6. So it forms an exact pretty much trine with one another. And so when that happens, it means that both of us have very similar like visions. We see a lot of the world, I think, the same way in a sense. And what we had naturally kind of how we express ourselves is very similar. We're both very mental in nature. We love to talk to one another just in general, or we express a lot of who we are and what we believe and how we feel through words. And so there is a resonance there. Like when you meet somebody who has the same sun sign as you, there is a similarity that you may almost feel like you're the same, but obviously not quite. And we both have moon signs in fire signs, and the moon, like I said, it's our unconscious needs. It's what we need to feel nurtured, and it can also sometimes represent like how we nurture others. So with moon and fire, like, we can both be people that are very passionate. We allow a lot of our desires and our passions to drive us, or at least to act somewhat as a compass for our direction. In psychological astrology, actually, fire signs represent intuition. I know a lot of people are under the impression that water signs are intuition. Actually, water signs are feeling, and it's fire signs that are intuition. So we are people that are naturally guided and led by our intuitive nudges. And at times, though, it could also lead us both to be people who can be a little bit impatient or maybe like really want something done now. And as far as we're concerned, if we have the passion for it, which is the heart, and then we've thought about it and come up with a plan, which is our brain, we're like, cool, what could go wrong? Like everything is fine here. Like we might as well just try it out and go for it. And so that can work really well and work in our favor because we think so alike, both consciously and unconsciously, or we are so alike consciously and unconsciously. But what I do find interesting and also a little bit different between us is Venus. We have Venus in opposite signs. Yours is in Gemini, mine's in Sagittarius. Now, for anybody, you guys listening, right, Venus represents how we relate to each other and how we connect with people. It's how we give and receive. Now, when signs are on an opposite axis, they share a similarity, but they also have a stark difference. Gemini and Sagittarius are opposites, and one of the things that they both are driven toward is curiosity, learning, and like knowledge. They both love to learn, albeit maybe in different ways, but they both really, really, really love to learn. But the shadow of both of them can be like this rigidity or like a judgment even of other people. Now, interestingly enough, Gemini rules the domain of learning and knowledge by observing and taking in facts, figures, and data. It's very objective. It's very like mental. Sagittarius, though, is all about intaking knowledge from experience, from like going to other places and experiencing other cultures, and it's a philosopher. So there's a subjective nature to Sagittarius. So you can see how like they're both similar. They both involve learning, but one is very objective and one is very subjective. It's a, you know, Sagittarius is about like belief systems and ethics and morals, which there is no like right or wrong to that. There is no fact of it. It's just whatever you believe, whatever your moral compass is what it is. It's not right or wrong. And then Gemini's kind of not opposite, but it's very much like, no, this is the fact of it. This is the science behind it. So there can be a clash at times there when like connecting with each other, if one of us is coming from that perspective and the other person is like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, whatever. But I think specifically what I wanted to mention about this is both of us referenced in some form when we were younger being a bit rigid or judgmental in the past when we were younger with friends, and how like if people didn't fit specifically in a box that we had carved out, we were like, oh nope, on to the next. And interestingly enough, that really fits with both of our Venus. For me, Venus and Sagittarius, because Sagittarius rules belief systems, I can have this problem in my romantic relationships and my friendships, as any relationship, where I used to really struggle to become friends with people who didn't share the same belief system that I had. I'd be like, nope, sorry, we don't agree, bye. For you, Gemini is very like, you know, it jumps a lot. And so for you, it could be a quick decision that you make of like, oh, this person's not fitting this box, nope, going to the next one. This person's not fitting, nope, on to the next one. It's like super quick, not really giving it a chance to become something. Same thing with me with Sagittarius.
The friendship that I liked about you, Emma, and Grace is that I love how we can have such an intellectual conversation. You know, those people, of course, everybody has intellect, but mm-hmm. those people that you can just talk about a subject for hours. I feel like that's you and I. And then it's so interesting because I think of somebody else and I'm mm-hmm. like, our conversation can't go more than 5 minutes. It's like something isn't clicking. And it's so interesting how like, wow. just like dating, mm-hmm. even in friendships, there is a match and a mismatch when, you know, I think that's just so right. funny. Just like even cats and dogs, like yeah. certain cats can't get along, but with another cat, they'll get along.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I totally agree that like the sun sign, having two people with sun and air signs, and then we both have Mercury and air signs. Like my Mercury is Aquarius and yours is Gemini. And Mercury is the planet that specifically is focused on communication. Having them in air signs, I definitely think that contributes to like our ability to do that. And I totally agree. Like one of my favorite things about our friendship is like we can sit on the phone and talk for like 5 hours. Like it's just crazy. Like in all the best ways, you know, I love that we can do that. And I love that you have such a curious mind and that you want to know more. Like that thirst for knowledge and that thirst for like just more mental stimulation. I'm like, yes, this is so cool.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that friendship episode. That was so fun. And even getting a reading between you and I, not just been in datings, right? You could get readings with your families and friends.
I'll put my website in the link in the description. But yeah, if you want to kind of deepen your friendships or better understand your partner and figure out how to have like a healthy relationship, definitely check that out. I would love to read your guys' charts. There's a lot to uncover even just in an hour.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and let us know what you guys have thought about this friendship episode. See you next time.